I'm talking about Thanksgiving today because we don't have Wednesday night service, and next Sunday it'll be too late to talk about Thanksgiving. So I'm going to talk about it this morning, and hopefully you could hold on to it for a while. Maybe this message will stay with you for the next 365 days. But how many found out that this Thanksgiving season has just crept upon us all at once? I mean, it just came out of nowhere, and people are saying, "Where did the year go?" I'm saying, "Where did 2024 go?" It has just seemed like it's flown by. I don't know if anybody else feels like that or not. If you've been through a lot of stuff, you maybe feel like it drug by. But I'm telling you what, I just felt like, "Where in the world did this year go?" But I have also discovered that Thanksgiving is also the pre-Christmas season. Because they've already got Christmas trees up, as you can see, and out in the stores before Thanksgiving ever gets here. And children are, you know, already asking, what's going to be under the tree? How many has your Christmas tree up at home? Let me see your hand. Oh, my goodness. How many's had your Christmas tree up for a week? We're not going to skip Thanksgiving, okay? We're not going to just go right through Thanksgiving and forget about Christmas, forget about Thanksgiving. But I thank God for the day of Thanksgiving because it's a reminder. It's a reminder, and it's something we need to be reminded of every day, not just once a year. Uh-huh. Amen. Every day should be a day of Thanksgiving for the believers. And we're going to share some things with you this morning, and I believe that you will be mature enough to receive it. I've said this for many, many years. I've said it every Thanksgiving, and I'm going to say it again, that Thanksgiving should be a spirit and not a spurt. Amen. It should not be a one day out of 365 days event. The songs that we sung this morning were so uplifting because they were all about recognizing who God is and praising Him and thanking Him for what He's done. So if you allow me to give you a definition of the word Thanksgiving, because we all already know it, but let me just humor me and listen, okay? One of the first definitions that I have is it's the act of giving. Can you guys read that?
Yeah.
You can read that.
Yeah.
How about the Osbournes on the back? Can you read that? Okay. I can hardly see it. But I'm looking at this one. Okay. The act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. How many sees that this morning? That's the dictionary definition of thanksgiving. Not a Christian dictionary, not a Hebrew or a Greek definition. It is, according to the dictionary, the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. And number two, here's the second definition, a public celebration in acknowledgement of divine favor and kindness. How many think we ought to have a Thanksgiving service every Sunday morning? Take the time to acknowledge and to express our love and thanksgiving to God for His favor and His goodness and His kindness to us. And in the third definition is a day set apart for giving thanks to God. And we've all got so much to be thankful for. I love that song we sang this morning, "All My Life, You've Been Faithful." I believe that's one of my favorite songs right now is, "God, You've Been Faithful All My Life." Do you know God was faithful to you when you weren't serving Him? Do you know God was faithful to you when you had at one time been on fire for God and you turned your back and walked away, but God was still faithful to you? Before you ever said, "Jesus Christ, I receive You as my Lord and Savior," God has been faithful to us all our lives. And that song means so much to me because He's been faithful. God has been faithful. And then I like that part that says, "With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God." Do you know you sang that while ago? That came out of your mouth while ago. That's a proclamation. Even though it's a song, you sang it and you said it with your mouth. "With every breath that I have, I will give praise to God." Sounds like we got a full-time job of praising God. Amen.
Amen.
Darlene and I, every once in a while, we'll stop and count our blessings. And we just are in awe at the goodness of God. And I would encourage you to do that sometime. You ought to write it down sometime and look at how long the list is. Because the more you think about it, the bigger the list is going to get of how good God has been. And the more gooder He's been to you, the more thankful you ought to be to Him.
Amen.
Amen. How'd you like that Arkansas English there, huh? It's where you're from, right? Arkansas. So, you know, God has been so good to Darlene and I, and we're so rich with the blessings of the Lord. You know, that richness is not dependent on your bank account. That richness is not dependent on how many friends you have or how many Facebook friends you have. That richness is because I have an inheritance with Almighty God. Amen. And so we begin to count our blessings, and, you know, we're both in good health. I know sometimes people look at me and say, you need to go on a diet, but I'm in good health right now. And, I know I need to work on the diet. And somebody came to me the other day and said, Brother Rhodes, you know, your belly's really getting out there. You really need to think about going on a diet. Can you believe the audacity of some people? Well, it was Uncle Gary. So since he was my uncle, he can say that. No. But listen. But we are in good health. I mean, we're not in a wheelchair. We're not in a walker. We don't have a cane.
Amen.
And I thank God we're in good health. Darlene's heart is healed. We have no more problems except when we go through the metal detectors. We came through the metal detector in Germany or somewhere, and they want to know what kind of metal you got in you. And she said, well, it's titanium in my heart. But you know what? We don't have to go buy that $500 a month medicine anymore for her heart. And man, I tell you what, if nothing else, I'm glad she got healed, saved me $500 a month, because that was pricey medicine. That's one of those tier three medicines. And so, you know, we're both healthy. We're strong. You know, every once in a while, the doctor look at me and said, you need to take care of this, or you need to fix that or drop this. But I'm healthy.
Amen.
I can get up. I can walk on my own. I do find out when I first get out of bed, it's not quite as quick. I don't jump out quite as fast as I used to. Can anybody identify with that? Okay, just the old people, right? So, but we're good. We're good. Darlene and I are in good health. We're still traveling and still, but we got good jobs. I'm telling you what, I've got the best job in the world. And I know you Boeing people think you got the best job. And you doctors think you got the best job. You nurses and all you people that, you know, that's in these highfalutin jobs, you think you got it. But I got the best job in the world. I get to share the Word of God with the people of God and watch you grow and watch you mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is such an awesome job. Amen. And you know what? The job security is awesome, because we're always going to have somebody that needs help, right? And so here's another thing. We've got a roof over our heads. You know what? It may not be the fanciest house in the world, but I like the house that I've got. God provided it, and it's awesome. We've got some wonderful friends. Not everybody on my Facebook is really a friend, but you guys, I consider you all friends, and we've got a lot of friends. But now listen to this. All of our children and all of our grandchildren are in good health. We don't have one in a wheelchair. We don't have one that has to walk with crutches. We don't have one child that's had to go to Memphis to the what's that hospital down there? The St. Jude's Hospital. Thank God. And as far as I know, I don't have any children or grandchildren in juvenile detention right now. You notice I said right now, okay? And as far as I know, I don't have any children or grandchildren that's addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol or have some kind of a vice in their life. Thank God we are blessed.
Amen.
Amen. And not only that, we're so blessed because we have a great church to attend. This is an awesome church to attend. And we don't say that in pride. We just say that because God has built this church. You know, God has put it all together. And so how rich I am, how much I have to be thankful for, with every breath that I breathe, I should be praising the Lord in some way, shape, or form. Amen. So today we're dealing with thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks. I want us to better understand that subject, that it's not just a once-a-year spurt, but it is a 24/7 spirit that we should be living in. I realize you can't go around with every word being a praise to God, but you can certainly stop some of the negative stuff that's been coming out that goes against the Thanksgiving message. Amen? And we need to do that. We need to work on that. And so my scripture today is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. This is the King James Version, but that's all right. You can follow in whatever translation you have, or you can look up here on the board behind me. But the scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want to read it one more time. Be careful for what? Nothing. But in what? Everything by prayer and supplication and with what? Let your requests be made known to God. You know, last Wednesday night, we had a great time here serving that Thanksgiving dinner. It was just probably one of the best ones we've ever had. And we had lots and lots of food and good tasting food. But you know what? If you came in Thursday or Wednesday night and you saw somebody's casserole and you said, "Oh, Sister Slope, that casserole was so good. Can I please have your recipe?" And you went home on Thursday or Friday and tried to make it like she did. Now listen, and your casserole, you pulled it out of the oven. And it looked like hers, but it didn't taste like hers. And you look over the recipe and you realize, I left out one ingredient. Do you know that leaving out one ingredient will affect the product? It will affect the final taste of whatever it is that you're cooking for. There's a lot of times that people make requests to God. Listen closely. They pray. They make supplications and they make petitions, but they leave out one thing, and it's that compound word, thanksgiving. Because the Bible says, let your prayers, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. That's part of the recipe. And when you leave one part of the recipe out, the thing's not going to look, taste like anything that you thought it would be. Amen. I guess I could have called this the missing ingredient this morning. The missing ingredient. I've said this every year, I think, but my mom made banana pudding one time, but she left the bananas out. And it tastes nothing like banana pudding. Now, it did taste like pudding, but not banana pudding. And so you leave out Thanksgiving. And listen, maybe your prayers won't work. According to Philippians chapter 4, maybe your prayers are not going to work when you leave out one ingredient, and that's called thanksgiving. Now, let's look at this scripture again, Brother Blake, Sister Kendra. Who's back there? Kendra. Let's look at this scripture again, and let's take it step by step. Anybody got time to stay with me for a while this morning? Let's look at it step by step. Okay, first of all, it says, be careful for what? Be careful for nothing. Now, that phrase might be a little blind to us today. That's King James, Elizabethan English, interpretation. And so it may be a little blind to us, but we'll read it from the Amplified. Notice it says, do not fret. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Woo, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Do you know if we would just grab that one verse of scripture, we wouldn't have a thing to worry about the rest of our lives? Amen. Well, you won't believe what the doctor said. Oh, I'm not going to fret or worry about anything. Amen. Because by supplication and prayer and with thanksgiving, I'm going to let my request be made known unto God. Amen. And the Bible says if I pray according to his will, he hears me. And if he hears me, I have that petition that I desire of him. So listen, don't leave out any of this. And remember, it says here, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. Don't worry. Don't be fretful. Don't be anxious. And then the next part says, in every circumstance and in all things, or by everything, by prayer and petition. How many things are we supposed to make request unto God? It says, let all things. How many knows that's big things? Everybody say big things. And little things. Everybody say little things. It's big things and little things. And everything in between. Let your request be. It don't say just bring the big ones to him. Bring the little ones. Bring the medium-sized ones. Bring them all to God. Bring them all to God. Bring everything, all things to God. And then we make our request with thanksgiving. In everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So if there's anything in your life today, if there's anything going on, if there's a circumstance or a situation or something that you're worried about or something that you're concerned about or something that's going to happen in the real near future, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to worry? Are you going to be anxious? Are you going to fret? Are you going to do what the Bible says, present it to God with thanksgiving? You know where the Thanksgiving, why the Thanksgiving's there? Because Thanksgiving is an act of faith that I believe God's going to do it before I ever see it. Before I ever hear it. Before I ever smell it. Before I ever taste it. Before I ever feel it. Because my faith is greater than the five senses of the body. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So we're not supposed to worry. We're supposed to what? Pray. Okay. With Thanksgiving. Right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just grab a hold of this first principle this morning, we're going to have a great time in 2025.
Amen.
We're not going to have one fretful day. We're not going to have one worried thought. We're not going to be anxious about anything. Doesn't matter what we see in the natural. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Doesn't matter what the bank report says. Doesn't matter what your creditors say. I am not going to worry about it because I'm going to give thanksgiving unto God. Okay, I want to share something else with you. Don't go away. Don't check out just yet. So we're not supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray with
Thanksgiving.
Now, the more I studied this, the more I began to get more and more notes, and I began to just add more and more to it. In fact, I don't know if you can see this or not, but this is my notes. Okay, this is my notes for this morning. And the more I read it, the more I study it, the busier it gets, and it's just full of arrows and red lines and everything else. But that's where we've missed it, folks. We've missed it by not giving thanksgiving. At the end of every prayer or at the beginning of your prayer. Father, I bring this to you because I thank you that you hear me and I thank you that this need will be met in Jesus' name. And Lord, here it is. Here's my request. And Lord, just in case you didn't hear me at the first, I want to thank you again, Lord, for the answer to that prayer. That is faith in action.
Amen.
I said faith in action.
Amen.
It's not just mental assent.
Right.
Oh, boy. Psalms 100, verse 4. Throw it up there. Here we go. Psalms 100, verse 4. Here's what many believers read. Enter into his gates with fear and fretting and anxiousness. And if he's in a good mood, you can pray and he'll hear you. Right? That's not what David said. Let's break this down. Oh, I'm so glad you asked me to do that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Do you see how many things are in that one verse of scripture? Thanksgiving, praise, thankfulness, and bless. You know, you can bless the Lord. You can bless the Lord. I'll show you how to do that here in just a minute. But let's break this one down a little bit. Enter into his gates. Oh, I love this. And last night I put these final touches on here. And the more I told Darlene, I said, the more I read, the more I get excited. And the more I get excited, the more I write down. We'll probably be here till the auction starts this afternoon. Enter into his gates. Do you know what? I found out in the Hebrew that the gates mean a door of a public meeting place. Think about that. The door of a public meeting place. Now, I've heard people say, well, now that enter his gates is Old Testament. That's talking about going through the outer court. But I want to tell you something. If you do a deep study, and I did a deep study, and I found out it means the door of a public meeting place. It's an opening. It's a gate. It's a glass door.
Amen.
Enter into the glass doors. Enter into the gates. Enter into the sanctuary.
Amen.
With what?
Thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Oh my God, it looks like it's going to rain today. Oh, there goes my flowers. There goes my crop. It's not going to rain. My wood's going to get all wet. And we can find everything in the world to talk about. But listen, that's the very opposite of thanksgiving. Do you think you can find something to be thankful about?
Amen.
Huh? We've got something to be thankful about. Enter into his gates, the door of public meeting place. And now here we go. I got another word for you here. These Hebrew words might mess up your theology, but I'm sorry. Enter into his gates, into the public meeting place with thanksgiving and into his courts. That's an interesting word. It's an enclosure, a yard, and it could be a parking lot. How about this? Enter onto the parking lot with praise. Instead of, you better be still in church today or I'll slap the snot out of you, Johnny. How about coming through the if you will come through the parking lot with praise, it'll be easy to enter the gates with thanksgiving. Amen. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. Can we go further? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, it's going to take me just a minute to find this. Bless his name. It means to kneel, to salute, and it goes on to say, blessed are those who bless. So we bless his name. You know what? One of the things we miss a lot at Solid Rock is coming around the front and kneeling, or just kneeling before the Lord. Now, I understand it's not the posture, but there's something about the bowing and the kneeling that we've really missed. Sometimes we have prayer meetings on Tuesday morning. Some people just come right up here and kneel and pray. They just kneel and pray. Why? Because when we kneel, we are bowing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think I might have lost one or two charismatics just then. How are we supposed to enter into the presence of the Lord? With thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise and be thankful. There we go. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, if you're not doing this, maybe you're entering into his courts or into his gates with complaining and griping and negative talking and just full of stuff that's not glorifying God. Do you know some people are driven to prayer because of fear? Think about it. Some people are driven to prayer by fear. Oh, my God. I got that report. That report says, whatever you want to say. But that report says it don't look good, okay? I think I better pray about this. Lord, if you don't heal me, I'm going to die. And what's my wife going to do? What's my children going to do? Lord, I need healing, Lord. Please, you got to heal me or I'm going to die. That's a fear-based prayer. Amen. You didn't record that, did you? That's a fear-based prayer. And many people go to God because they're full of fear, and God does not answer the prayer of fear. He answers the prayer of faith. Am I helping anybody today? How many times have we entered into prayer? Now, I can speak for myself and for Darlene. Entered into prayer, and I had a petition that I was going to make, but I always like to start my prayers off with thanksgiving, even on Tuesday mornings and whenever we gather to pray, or if I'm praying privately, I always begin my prayers with thanksgiving. First thing I do when I get in my automobile, I pray with thanksgiving. I don't begin to say, God, I need this, and God, I need that, and you promised me this, and you said if I do this, you'd do that. No, that's not a way you approach God. You approach him with thanksgiving. And we do that. Darlene, I enter into prayer. We'll say, Lord, we just thank you for this day. I'll get in my car, and I'll say, Lord, I thank you for my car. Thank you for my stereo. Thank you, Lord, for the backup camera. I just thank you for all kinds of silly things. But I am thankful. I am very, very thankful for what the Lord's done. But then if I think, well, now I got some petitions I need to bring. But by the time I get to the petition, it's almost like the thanksgiving and praise has overridden the petition, and the petition is no longer important. Carol, do you know what I'm talking about? We enter in with our with praise and thanksgiving, and then we're going to move on to the petitions that we heard about in Philippians 4. But by the time we get there, we've had so much praise and worship. Man, I feel like God's already answered the prayer before I ever had the petition. That's the kind of God that I'm serving, folks. I just end up thanking him. There's been times when my wife or even our children were ill, you know, and we would pray. I'd start off praying for Darlene, you know, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that she's healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you that it's already been paid for. I don't care what Lindsay. I don't care what Dr. Lindsay says. He was the guru of the up at Barnes of the electrophysiologist. I said, I know he's only telling me what he sees. But Lord, I see beyond that report. I see the report of the Lord. And we just begin to praise God and praise God and praise God. Listen, folks, there is power in praise. There's power in thanksgiving. Don't let this be a spurt. Don't let this just be one day when you sit around the table and say, okay, what you thankful for, honey? What you thankful for, babe? What you thankful for, son? It ought to be a way of life. Anybody agree with me today? Okay. Oh, let's go. Oh, we can't pass this up. I just about passed this one up. Let's go back to Psalms 100, where it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We almost passed up the word thanksgiving. We talked about gates. We talked about courts. We talked about blessed, but we forgot the word thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Are you interested in what thanksgiving is in the Hebrew?
Amen.
Okay. Are you mature enough to take this?
Yeah.
I got four weak yeses. Are you mature enough to take this next definition? Number 8426 from Strong's Hebrew definitions, the word thanksgiving in Psalms 100 is the word todah. Everybody say todah. It's T-O-D-A-H. Now, I don't expect you to know that word because it's a Hebrew word, and I probably didn't say it right. But you know what todah means? An extension of the hand with adoration. It means, am I in the right place? Well, it's not yada, it's toda. Where'd you see yada? Way to go. You guys are good. The notes that I sent her said yada, but when I was studying it again last night, I realized it's not yada, it's toda. And I like Toda. Toda means, here we go, an extension of the hand with adoration. To throw up the hands to give a, you know what a sacrifice of praise is? Is it like I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway? I'm going to work. Do you know how many times I've sat on that front row and threw up my hands when I didn't feel like it? It's not about feeling. It's not about me being comfortable. It's not about what people think of me if I lift my hands. And that's Toda, folks. Everybody say Toda. We need to be Toda worshipers and praisers, an extension of the hand. Now, when I see that, I don't see this. No judgment in solid rock, right? No judgment. But this is not throwing up my hand. This is just kind of a bird wing or something like that. You know, this is not throwing up the hands. This is the definition, an extension of the hand with adoration, to throw up the hands to give a sacrifice, to shoot up in worship. Why? Sir, would you please stand up on the back row that's looking at your phone right now? Would you please stand? Yes, you. Chocolate. Stand up. Why, now you got to speak real loud, but I'll repeat it for those watching online. Why, when you go to arrest somebody, you say, get your hands up?
Why?
That's the question. Why? Make sure there's nothing there. They're clean, right?
Surrender.
How about surrender? Yeah. Have you ever chased somebody and all of a sudden they stopped and threw their hands up? You know why? I surrender. Did I say something?
They don't want to be shot.
How about this, brother officer? How about they're vulnerable when their hands are up in the air? That means their defenses are what? Are down. That means I have no defense. I'm trusty. I believe this guy coming up behind me is going to take this hand back here, and this hand back here. But I'm vulnerable. I'm defenseless. I am submitting to the authority.
Amen?
Thank you, sir. You did a great job. I'll use you from time to time. Have you ever seen a child running to their parents, running to their mother? You ever seen them throw the hand out and just run towards them? That's the expression that God is wanting us to have towards him. The throwing up of the hands. Oh, God, I come to you. I come to you. I love you. I adore you. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, I just thank you because you're my God. If you never did another thing, I thank you that you're still my God. The throwing up of the hands. Now, can we look at this verse again and with the Hebrew definition? Enter into his gates with the throwing up of the hands in worship and praise. The position of surrender. By the way, There are 21 Bible verses about lifting up the hands. Some of you are looking at me like, well, God will change his word for me. No, he won't. You're not that special. You're special, but you're not that special. Don't say, well, that's just not my personality. God surely understands. God understands his word. Okay, let's move on. I'm sorry. Here's the next one. Enter into his courts with praise. That's number 1984. It's the word what?
Halal.
Yeah. To be clamorously foolish and to celebrate and to boast. How many of those we Pentecostals usually fit that category? Huh? We usually fit that category because people will look at you and say, you are clamorously foolish. Why are you acting like that? Well, you don't know what God has done for me. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know the prayers that God's answered for me. You don't know how God healed my body when they gave up on me. To be clamorous, to boast, to celebrate, to sing praises. It's used 165 times in the Old Testament. And by the way, there are 7 Hebrew words for praise. This is only one of them. And 165 times in the Old Testament. Here's another, they talk about the lifting of the hands. Now here's another, listen to this. 80 New Testament scriptures. 80 New Testament praise scriptures. And we get antsy if we go over 30 minutes in praise and worship. We become clock watchers if it begins 10:40, 10:45. How long is this praise and worship going to last? Am I in the right church? Am I stepping on anybody's toes? Doesn't Brother Rose know he needs to shut that down? It's been 45 minutes of praise and worship. You see, the difference in a song service and praise and worship, oh, you don't need that, do you? You don't need that. You know the difference in a song service and praise and worship. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This one confuses a lot of people, and I think Lou brought it out earlier this morning, and I'm so glad he did. He explained it just the way that I have it here in my notes. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. For what? This is the what? Will of God concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. He referenced Daniel in the lion's den. He referenced Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And you know what? They praised him in the fiery furnace. They praised him in the lion's den. They didn't praise him because of the lion's den or because of the fiery furnace. They praised him in the situation because they knew our God was able to deliver us. Can you say amen to that? So when it says, in everything give thanks, that doesn't mean that you're giving thanks because of the situation you're in. You're giving thanks because you're in that situation and you know you're not alone. Can I tell you something? I preached this over in Georgia, but Daniel in the lion's den and 3 Hebrew children in the fiery furnace out of the book of Daniel, that's not just what that book is about. It's about a young man that knew how to stand firm. It's about 3 young men that knew how to say no, even when they were translated into a different world, a different culture that required them to bow down at foreign gods. It required them to eat foods that they didn't want to eat. And they stood tall and said, no, we're not going to do this. Our God is able to deliver us. Amen. The same God of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is your God today.
Amen.
Woo! I'm about to get happy here in this Pentecostal church. Thank him in the middle of that situation. I don't thank God because my baby is sick. I don't thank God because my wife had cancer. I don't thank God because my wife went through a major heart surgery. No, I don't do. No, but in the middle of those things, you better believe I was praising God for her healing. Am I right, Sister Sue? In the middle of those things, when you're going through those things, I'm praising God because I know I'm going through.
Amen.
Okay. Let's move on. I don't thank God for making us sick. I mean, God don't make people sick. For those of you that still didn't hear me, I said God doesn't make people sick. If God made people sick, why would Jesus go around and rebuke the sickness and rebuke this disease and rebuke the pain on people? He was undoing the works of God. Amen. That's not what my Bible says. He said he was doing it. Amen. Okay, can we go to Psalms 50? How many still loves your pastor?
Amen.
Okay. How many believe Solid Rock is going to be a praising, worshiping, Thanksgiving church?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalms 50, verse 14 and 15. Let's see if we got this one right. What I want from you is true thanks. I want your promises fulfilled. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. Y'all see that? That's just what I said 10 seconds ago. The reason we praise him in that, because he's going to rescue us. We know he's going to rescue us, and then we can give him glory. All right? Psalms 95, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the Amplified this time. Oh, come, let us sing. Is this boring anybody?
No.
Are you all okay?
Yeah.
Say amen if you're still listening.
Amen.
Oh, I like that. Brother Tyler said a while ago, you know, people that need people's approval, you know, are not trusting in God. Well, every once in a while, though, I just like to hear a good amen. I don't need your approval. I just need an amen. Where are we at? Psalms 95, 1, 2. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Here we go. Look at this. Let us come before his presence with what? You want to know what that Thanksgiving word is? Guess what? Tota. You'll never forget the Tota word, will you? That means the throwing up of the hands, to praise him with the uplifted hands, to praise him with your arms extended. Let us come before his presence with the extended hand, and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Somebody say, this is for me today. Okay, I'm going to give you another Hebrew word. And when we see this last phrase in Psalms 95 and 2, it says, with songs of praise. No, the first part, sing. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord. Hebrew number 7442, if you want to fact check me. 7442, shout for joy. Cry out. Sing aloud. Triumph. You ever tried singing with your mouth shut? Here's what I have heard. Well, brother, I'm singing on the inside. Tell that to your music teacher. Well, brother, you don't see my heart, but I'm really praising God on the inside. Blah, blah, blah. It means to shout for joy, to cry out, to sing aloud. You know what? It's so sad that during praise and worship service, you can look around and see about four or five people singing. But you know what? That's changing. I'm beginning to see a church full of singers. I didn't say you could carry a tune. I said singers. Big difference, all right? You're singers. You're singing unto the Lord. And I don't care if it is a joyful noise. It's all right. It's unto the Lord. It's not unto your wife sitting next to you or that stranger behind you. It's unto the Lord. I got to read this to you. Save a little time. The Hebrew word, by the way, that word sing in 7442 is the Hebrew word R-A-N-A-N. Ranan, and I probably said that wrong too. The Hebrew word primarily conveys the act of singing or shouting, often with a connotation of joy or exultation. It is frequently used in the context of worship and praise, expressing a deep, heartfelt response to God's majesty, deliverance, or blessings. The term can also imply a loud, jubilant proclamation reflecting a command or individual expression of faith and gratitude. This is why the Bible teaches us to study the word, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. We've breaking down the word of God, because if you just read, let us sing, you might think that means volasu latido. Did I say it right?
No.
So fo latito? Do re mi, yeah. Do re mi. I forgot the do re mi, but it's unto God. He got it. He got it. Now listen to this. That's the word. That's the Hebrew word sing. But now listen to this. Joyful noise. Let us make a joyful noise. Psalms 95, 1. Let us make a joyful noise. The Hebrew word. Do I look okay on camera like this? Or do I need to stand up? Stand up? Okay. Sorry. Oh, by the way, if you watch on Facebook and our programs are interrupted with an ad, that's not us. For some reason, they have jumped in and decided they're going to place ads in our Facebook sermons. So just ignore it, okay? Just ignore the ad. Don't even buy the product. Okay. Unless they give us 10%. Okay. Joyful noise. Ruah. Used 45 times. Number 7321. For those of you that want to fact check me, it means to split the ears with sound. Sound an alarm. Dr. ENT, that's a good one for you. Split the ears with sound. Sound an alarm. Now here we go. Listen to this. This is good. In ancient Israelite culture, shouting was a common form of expression in both religious and military settings. Shouts were used to signal the beginning of a battle, or to celebrate victories, or to express communal worship and praise. Somebody go, wow, that's good. The act of shouting was often seen as a way to invoke divine intervention or to demonstrate unity and strength among the people. I think maybe that thing is still used some once in a while in military. You ever watch any of those Civil War movies where this group is coming against this group? They don't just go up there, how are you today? It's gonna be a great little battle. No, they go up there with their swords raised, their guns and raised, and they're shouting at the top of their lungs. They're shouting for victory. Listen, God knows what he's talking about. Do you remember the walls of Jericho? The walls would not have fallen had they not what? Shouted. That was one of the commands for the walls to fall, is you've got to shout. So I believe God is so pleased with praise and worship and thanksgiving. Amen. Okay, so remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. This is the will of God. Remember that song we sang a while ago, "With Every Breath I Breathe"? I have a scripture for you, Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise. You want to know what that word praise means? It's the word halal, 1984 in the Strong's. You know what that means? To be clamorously foolish and to celebrate and to boast. The same word that is used in Psalms chapter 100 and verse 4. Praise ye the Lord. Now to me, that verse sounds like if you're breathing. Huh? Does it sound like if you're breathing, let everything that what? Praise the Lord. So I would say that includes you if you're breathing this morning. And let me remind you of the definition. To be clamorously foolish. That's just not my personality. Take it up with God. Okay? Take it up with God. I'm sure he'll change his word for you. Okay. Colossians 1 and 12. Colossians 1 and 12. Giving thanks. I'm almost done. I've only got 2 pages left. I can stretch them out if you want me to. Colossians 1 and 2. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. Now that's a King James word, but let me give you a better definition. Which has made us to qualify, to be sufficient, or to render fit. He has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. I am fit to enjoy my inheritance that God has given me through Jesus Christ. Amen. I am well able. Amen. Somebody said, well, as soon as I die, I'll enjoy that inheritance. No, you don't die to get the inheritance. The person that died left the inheritance to you. Am I okay today? We don't receive our inheritance when we die. Okay. Put your shoes back under your feet or under your chair because I'm going to say something here. I'm going to say something. We have an inheritance down here right now. I said we have an inheritance right now. It's not just pie in the sky. Amen? It's also ham where I am. You know, we hear a lot of people talking about the pie in the sky. But according to Colossians, we have ham where we am. Amen? I want to go back and look at the very first verse we started with. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It doesn't stop there because there's a number 7 after 6. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. He's saying, I will guard your mind. When you do that with thanksgiving, I will protect you with the peace that passes all understanding. Know what that word means? Listen to this. I will guard and protect and keep watch over you as by a military guard. Amen. Dr. Sue, it's so much fun to study the Hebrew and Greek, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. Here's what the Living Bible says. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. It all goes back to trusting, doesn't it? It all goes back to trusting. Other Christians, other people are looking at you and saying, how come you're not falling apart? I heard what the doctor said about you. How come you're not just falling apart, bursting at the seams? Because I have the peace of God that passes all understanding, because I have cast my care upon him, and I, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, have made my request to God. Everybody say this with me. Oh, I was supposed to call the worship team up here a long time ago. Would you guys mind coming up? Yeah, for real. I have a half a page left. Take you that long to put your ears in. I believe what Paul is saying in Colossians is that, or Philippians, is that we cannot even comprehend the kind of peace that God wants to give to us. We can't even imagine the kind of peace that God wants to bring to us when we keep our mind on him. And the peace of God passes all understanding, will guard your hearts like a military guard and your minds through Christ Jesus. Can I give you one more verse? 1 Peter 5 and 7. Let him have, this is the Living Bible, by the way. Let him have all your worries. Let him have all your cares. For he is always thinking about you, and he's always watching everything that concerns you. There is no reason to fear. There's no reason to worry. Every once in a while, my wife has to calm me down a little bit because I'm kind of an excitable kind of guy. Sometimes I have a short fuse, and then sometimes she'll say, now, Daryl, think about it. What's the Bible say? What's the Word say? And she'll preach to me the message that I preached 2 weeks ago. And she'll, but we're good for each other, okay? We're good for each other. But listen, sometimes worry will creep in, and it'll rise up in you, and before you know it, you'll be a worrywart about that situation. And if you worry about that one, you'll worry about this one, this one, this one, and this one. Amen? Now, he says, when you cast your burdens upon me, how many knows he is now carrying the load? I said, he's now carrying the load. You don't have it. So why are you burdened down? Because you didn't cast it on him. If I cast my care on him, the burden's not on me anymore. I'm doing better preaching than you are saying amen. This is good stuff. You have no reason to worry because I gave it to him. He's going to carry that for me. And he'll make sure that I come out all right.
Amen.
Amen. So what's that mean? Christy, that means I can go to sleep at night. I can have sweet dreams and wake up refreshed in the morning because I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Good news? Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Be a good idea to wake up with a praise on your lips, thanksgiving on your lips. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read this, then I'm going to let the worship team take us out. There are 5,467 divine promises, and they're all conditional upon your obedience. Think about that. You can't just claim the promises of God and do whatever you want to do. It is based on your obedience. God's promises must be received. Just because God promises something doesn't mean that it's yours. You've got to receive it. We receive it by faith. I don't see it. But how many know the Bible says in Hebrews 11, faith is the title deed. And if you've got the title deed, you got the goods, right? Even though you may not see the product, you've got it. By faith, okay? So God is absolutely trustworthy. He is unchanging. He has the will and the power to fulfill His promises. He is faithful in keeping all of His promises. His promises stem from His goodness and glory. God has confirmed His promises with an oath. Jesus Christ brings superior promises through the new covenant. Y'all grab a hold of that? All these Old Testament promises are great, and we can claim those, but I'm going to tell you something. The New Testament promises are even greater. That's what the Word says. Oh, listen to this. Jesus Christ has the right to make promises on God's behalf. Isn't that good? Woo! They are received by faith. They are received by perseverance and obedience. God's promises unite believing Jews and Gentiles. Disaster awaits those who reject God's promises. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of life and eternal life, resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, the presence of God, the peace of God, joy in God, the knowledge of God, and the faithfulness of God, and the forgiveness of God, and the promises of eternal life, and peace, and guidance, and obedience, and faith. All we have to do is say, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I realize that some of the stuff we said this morning may be strong for some. There may be some that just totally didn't receive it. And Father, that's between them and you. I've been obedient to give it to the best of my ability. And if there was error in my teaching, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Show it to me and I'll correct it. Father, I pray that we receive the Word of God today with gladness, and we plant that seed in the womb of our spirit and declare that it's going to bring forth, it's going to birth forth a harvest of faith in trusting in you and believing in you and living a life of praise and thanksgiving. Father, I know it's hard to accept some of the Old Testament scriptures about laughing and maybe about lifting the hands, and maybe about making joyful, clamorous noises. But Father, we want to please you in every day of our life. And Lord, we don't want to miss you. We don't want our personality type. We don't want our traditional teachings to sway us into not believing what you would have us to do. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Change us where we need changing. Help us to clean up the areas of our lives that need to be cleaned up. Help us to trust in you with all of our hearts. Help us to give it to you. Every burden, every care, every worry. And with thanksgiving, we know that it shall come to pass.